Okay, we're going to take your phone calls next with our guest, Ken Klein, on Coast to Coast AM. Ken, before we go to calls, give me your concept of inversion, if you would.
Okay. Well, if you, let's just say, let's take a glass of water. You fill the water up to the top of the glass, and then you turn the glass upside down, mm-hmm. and the water flows out. What the angels and what God's trying to do through the angels and through the whole reality of the rescue mission of Yeshua is to turn the glass around again, so that we can receive the Holy Spirit, and be filled up in such a way that there's a formation of the Christine in us. So inversion means that we've been turned upside down, and in the upside downness, the very energy of God has been drained out of us, the divine energy. We have certain amount of amptrictic energy, which means life, you know, the power of God exists in us in very low accelerations. And what God's trying to do is turn us right side up so that we can receive the energies that come from the Bible calls it the waters above the heavens. And when you read Genesis, it says God separated the waters below from the waters mm-hmm. above. And most people don't have a clue what that means, but what it's saying is that there's a separation between earthly energies and heavenly energies, and what we can't do in this upside down state is receive the energies from the waters above. So when we get turned around, when we get turned right side up, and we become, you know, vessels that can receive, well, then we're on the pathway to being transcendent, and it begins with Christ, Jesus Christ, whose birthday we're going to celebrate here on Christmas in just about 2 weeks. And then it's a matter of receiving magnitudes of the Spirit, of the God's Spirit, so that the waters from above flow into our vessel. And then everything in life becomes a direction towards that purpose of transcendence. And so our life takes on a different dimension, and we enter into a new journey where we begin to understand that we're called to this heavenly calling. It's not about, you know, going to China and winning all these people for Christ or something like that. It's about preparation. It's about preparing to take back what was taken from us, what we lost when we fell out of our angel bodies, to enter back into our angel person, so that we can get on with our purposes in this universe. So we have to go through this process called inversion, and it begins initially, you know. And when you look at the Great Pyramid, by the way, you know, there is a pathway. There's nothing in any of the other pyramids that even comes close to the Great Pyramid in terms of its inner structure, and it's like a template that even can be looked at to measure where we're at in our spiritual journey. But there is in the Great Pyramid a passageway that intercepts the downtrending passageway, but it's blocked with granite. And that's kind of like our spiritual state. We're like blocked from transcending until we come to the realization that we're in a fallen state, and we're really going nowhere. We're actually going down to a place that goes to nowhere, which is that bottomless pit. But as we come to the Lord, you know, we can start that upward journey, and then we move upward towards the greater revelations. And that's what the Grand Gallery is all about. It was really designed, you know, as a metaphor, but was used as a kind of like an observatory of the stars. And like I said, stars are, you know, metaphors of angels. And so, you know, as we move forward into this Grand Gallery of our experience spiritually, we begin to receive more and more revelation of God, which helps us transcend to the higher states of, you know, our true self. And that's what everybody's really looking for. That's what the whole world is searching for. And that's why the pyramid is a monument to the Lord, because it has all of these things in it that direct us towards the stars and our destiny. We came from the stars. We're supposed to go back to the stars. And in the New Testament, it says nobody can ascend unless he first descends, even Christ. So even Christ descended, and even we descended from our angel bodies. We must transcend. We must ascend. And that's what this is all about.
Okay, let's go to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George and Ken.
Hi.
This is very enlightening. Yahweh bless you.
Thank you.
Through his son, Yahshua HaMashiach, and we're in covenant with him.
Good.
Yes, and so what you're saying definitely resonates. Two questions.
What was your name?
Ann.
Hi, Ann.
Hi, Ken. How will we be creating is the first question. And how does Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem, I know the heavenly is in the new Jerusalem, was the mother of us all, that's Galatians 4:26. But how does Jerusalem in the Middle East figure?
Well, God has made covenants with Israel. Abrahamic covenant has been given to Israel. God hasn't forgotten that. And Israel, earthly Israel, earthly Jerusalem, is a metaphor of the heavenly. And so God will keep his covenants with Jerusalem and with Israel because it's promised to Abraham. We are in the time of Abraham's bosom. That's the time frame we're in this whole expanse of our existence. And so it is something that should be kept intact. It is something that is, speaks of the heavenly. The heavenly Jerusalem is us. It is explained in the scripture as, a city. Admittedly, but the city is a physical construction that is a metaphor of the unity of the brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the city of God.
Hallelujah.
We are the city of God. And what we have to do is we have to embrace all people everywhere as our brothers and sisters, because they truly are. We are from one race. We are from one spiritual gnome. And yet we're in these diversified human identities that are at war with each other. So almost as though the war that we once had in the spiritual dimension as angels now has been, dropped on us here on Earth. And here we are fighting each other all over the planet. But the reality is that we all have to be healed of mental diseases, and we need the doctor to heal us. And these words that we're speaking tonight, and these I don't want to say ideas, but these principles, I don't even like calling them principles, but these manifested truths, let's call them that, are the manna. It's the manna. It's the angel food. As we ingest it, will cause us to transcend and be healed in our minds. And it'll even affect our bodies. And did you know that God started speaking about who we were back in the Egyptian times when the Jews were, fleeing from Pharaoh, when he fed the Jews with manna? That was specially designed food by the angels given to the Hebrews, and it was so powerful that it even maintained their clothing for 40 years. It seeped through their pores and affected their clothing. That's how powerful the knowledge of God is. It'll heal us and protect us and keep us.
Oh, and it's Rachel weeping for her children. Jeremiah 31:15.
Yeah, Jeremiah 31:15.
What you said is she saw the future.
Yeah, and she also saw her children coming back through the Romans.
Wonderful.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
We never go back there and read that, Jeremiah 31, but it speaks of this regeneration. Because, see, everybody must have a fair time and a chance to fulfill their destiny. Every person has a destiny. And that is the pearl of great price that's spoken of in the parables. The pearl of great price, a lot of people say, well, that's about Jesus or that's about the church. No, the pearl of great price is about your destiny, that you sell out for your destiny. And your destiny is the stars. That's our destiny.
Yeah, Yahweh answers her, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded.
Yeah, read the rest of it for your children. Go ahead.
All right.
For your children will
Yahweh,
come forth.
And they shall come again from the land of the enemy.
They will come forth from the land of the enemy. So it's talking about your children aren't dead. They're going to come up in different human bodies, and they're going to come back to their borders. I mean, if that isn't a message of hope to Rachel that, these people that were murdered by Herod would actually come back, but they'd be Romans, and they'd come back to their own land. That's an incredible scripture.
Okay, thanks for your call. Let's go to some other callers. Let's go first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You are on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, this is Melita from Arkansas.
Hello, Melita.
I am very grateful for the information you're bringing forward, Ken Klein, and thank you, George Norrie, for taking the call, and have Merry Christmas to everybody.
Well, Merry Christmas to you.
I'm feeling that I'm living your truth as I have been striving to overcome the lower senses of the anger, the greed, the rage, even against God and against the way things are, and how to get that inner peace. And through my research and my prayer, I came across a book that I believe has revealed some truth to me that rings true to me, that also seems to collaborate what you're saying tonight. And the name of the book is The Talmud of Emmanuel. It's printed by Bridger House Publishers, and it's based on an ancient document. Actually, the actual translation discovered, the ancient document was discovered in 1963, encased in resin and buried for nearly 19 centuries, and was original Aramaic writings found in the tomb of Emmanuel, the burial cave. And the first party that found it was murdered. Most of it was destroyed. And there was only a very small amount of it that was left to be translated into German and then into English. And on page 12, it says, Joseph was the husband of Mary, the mother of Emmanuel, who became pregnant by a distant descendant of the celestial son, Raziel, who was the guardian of the angel of the secret. When Joseph heard of Mary's secret impregnation by a descendant of the celestial son from the lineage of Raziel, behold, he was filled with wrath and thought of leaving her, blah, blah, blah. And well, the celestial son who impregnated Mary was Gabriel. And then it does also later say, God deserves the honor of people of earth, for behold, he is the true originator of the white and of the colored human races of earth, and to him should be all honor given. So I believe this collaborates what you're saying, and that answers the question of whether this was a Mary's mystical experience, or was it actually an impregnation of a being, and this was a live being, a celestial son.
No, I'm sorry. That doesn't corroborate where I'm coming from at all. So I have to interrupt you there, because I don't believe that, and I don't think that's accurate. It's not even biblically accurate, not even close. And so I wouldn't regard that as something that corroborates what I'm saying, because I'm sorry. I just have to interrupt there and tell you that that's not the way it occurred. It's not the way it's been revealed, and I think it's an error. It's inerrancy.
All right, next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Tia, and I'm calling from Orange County.
Hi, Tia.
Hi. I was wondering, I went on the website, and I saw that, Ken, you are a Hebrew Christian. I think that's how they said it. And I just was wondering, like, how the Christian church looks and how they accept what you're saying and how you breach that that gap, because it would seem like it would be interesting.
Well, I think that's a kind statement. I think there's a lot of errors in Christianity that the church is not ready to face. I'm not certain that this will be widely accepted in Christendom, although it is totally biblical. It's because there's been very many alterations in the Bible. For example, just take this one thing in the King James Bible, which is the authorized version, which is most widely accepted amongst Christians. There's a scripture that I think it's in 1 John 5, for example, and it says, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And if you go back to the original Greek language, it's not even in the Bible, and yet it is what people accept as a reference to the Trinity. And yet it is not even a biblical verse. It was inserted by the people that transcribed the Bible under King James, and it's not even accurate. So there's been many alterations in the Bible, and there's been many books that were not included in the Bible that were lost, and there's many problems with the Bible. That doesn't mean that it's not contained the Word of God. It's just that there's been a lot of things that have been changed over the course of time that have watered it down and diluted it. And so there's a lot of people that would say that I'm a heretic because I'm saying that that scripture doesn't belong there, but it doesn't belong there. It's not in the Greek language. So I don't know to what degree, you know, Christendom will embrace this or not, but I can tell you something. There's people leaving the churches all over the world because something seems to be missing. Their answers aren't being addressed because the church is incapable. For example, just take the whole idea of cloning. You know, the church has no idea what to do with say about it. They just say that it's evil, and they have nowhere to go with any biblical text. But there are texts in the Bible that deal with it. There are plenty of things, but they can't see it. So this is a time where people are going to have to really evaluate what they believe and look at this. And that's why when George asked me to comment on what many of the things I've talked about tonight, I refused to last April because we didn't have anything in print. We didn't want to be called a cult. We wanted to have documentation and references to what we're writing so people could do their own research and study and make up their own minds about this stuff rather than just go by their dogma and their doctrine that's been fed to them for, you know, what, 1,800 years, 1,900 years. I mean, the Council of Nicaea came up with a whole concept of the Trinity, for example, and that's pretty much what everybody believes. But is it the way it is really expressed in the Scriptures or not? And let's take a look at all these things. I don't think God is insulted or offended if we, you know, ask a lot of questions. And so this is going to cause a lot of people to question what they really believe, and I think that's a good thing.
Are we in the final stages of the final conflict?
No. No, we're not. You know, the Bible says that God made a promise to Abraham unto 1,000 generations. He said, you will be a father unto 1,000 generations. Well, a generation, if you're just generous with the word generation, it could be up to 70 years. At least it's 40. So if he's going to be a father unto 40 generations, that's 40,000 years. So I think that the Christian world's been talking about these last days ever since Jesus was here. And that isn't to say that there aren't troubles on the earth and they don't point to the necessity for some kind of intervention. But to say that we're in the final battle, I don't believe we're close to it.
All right, stay with us. Final calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, Linda Moulton Howe joins us for a complete show, we call it Conversations with Linda, as we talk about cattle mutilations, strange things falling from the sky, and everything else she's investigating. That's our next Coast to Coast show. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest, Ken Klein. We'll take your phone calls as well. Ken, fascinating research, I have to tell you. Do you stand alone out there with these theories, or are there others?
These aren't my theories. There are people that have had remarkable, remarkable experiences with messenger angels that have taken the veil off of many of the things that have been hidden in the scriptures that people have not been able to penetrate. And all that we've written, all that I'm talking to you about is not my own. This isn't something that I figured out. This has been revealed to me by wonderful, loving, kind, anointed people that have taken over, well, since 1969, have been transcribing these works that have been given to them by messengers. They are totally biblical, but they have oiled and dusted off many of the scriptures that have been lost from antiquities. And restored to the human race. And so the first excerpts that I have of Before Genesis, which deals with the angel wars and many of the things I've talked to you tonight, are on my website under the Manifest Chronicles. The author of it does not want to be known except by the name The Manifester.
The Manifester.
The Manifester. And so people can go to my website, and it doesn't cost anything. I mean, I'd like you to get my Pillar of Enoch film because it helps keep me going. But we're going to publish this for free from probably weekly or bi-monthly, where there will be new excerpts from the Before Genesis book. And there's six other ones. The one coming after this is called Star Rise. And it's about the star of Christ rising in your own being. And that's coming next. But they can get an excerpt on this if they go to enochspillar.com, enochspillar.com, and go to my head page. And on the left side, under brand names, it's the Manifest Chronicles. It's not prominently displayed. You have to look for it. And just click on it, and it'll take you to this excerpt, and you can start reading it. And it's all fully documented and footnoted, and it's unbelievable. So that's where they should go. And if they do want to buy my number, would it be appropriate, George, to give my 800 number out?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
If you want to get the Pillar of Enoch, which is this bridge full of prophecies and unbelievable things, 1-800-892-9007, 892-9007, or you can get it on my website at enochspillar.com, enochspillar.com. There's a trailer. You can look at it. Or if you lose all that, you can go to George's site, Coast to Coast, and click on my name. It'll take you right to my site.
All right. Very good. And by the way, that meteorite asteroid that you talked about last hour, I mean, do you believe that's something that could be out there that's heading this way? We just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I think that the Earth will be struck, and that'll probably be the end before we see a whole nother compaction. Because it says there'll be a new heavens and a new Earth, which means there's going to be another compaction, and there'll be a ninth universe. So how that all plays out over the course of time, I'm not certain, but I believe that we will be struck by a meteor. It won't be nuclear war that takes out the world. It'll be space debris. And that's when the angels will come and take us out of here. So please, everybody, get ready, because I don't know how long it's going to be, but I don't think it's as short as Christians believe. I think we'll be here for a while longer. There's a lot more things that have to happen, and there's a lot more that needs to take place in the hearts of the multitude. So,
all right, let's go to final calls. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. This is just an incredible program, and I thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I do study Hebrew, and I try to do the Bible codes, actually, and I wanted to know if you believe that the Bible codes, as many of my friends who decode as well, believe that it's a little scroll. And I wanted to ask you what you thought about it, and I'll listen up there.
I didn't understand. The little scroll in Revelation 10?
Yes, and referred to in Daniel.
No. The little scroll in Revelation 10, it was the angel giving to John this book of the seven thunders, okay? It has nothing to do with the Bible codes. Those seven thunders were a mystery to John, but they've been revealed now. And people say, well, you're adding to the book of Revelations. All the curses be upon you. Well, God bless you, God doesn't want anybody to be cursed, and we're not adding anything. Those seven thunders relate to the incidents of the universe existing as a chaotic mass in a star density compaction, and then there was the energy that was supplied to that compaction that caused all that matter to explode into this universal construction, and that's called the alpha mode. And so the universe expands in this alpha mode until a signal goes out from the mighty throne of God and calls it to reverse. And then it goes into reverse, which is the omega mode, and it goes back to a compaction. So when we look at the book of Genesis, and it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, the proper rendering in the Hebrew, since you're a Hebrew person, should be from aforetime manifold God, which is Elohim, had created the heavens and its matter. That's the way it should read in the Hebrew. From aforetime manifold God had created the heavens and its matter. So Genesis is basically a snapshot of that cycle. It's a cycle of the, it's a snapshot of the Alpha Omega cycle. So the seven thunders has nothing to do with the Bible code. It has everything to do with the fact that we've had seven universal constructions. We're in the eighth, and it'll go into a compaction, and that's why it says there'll be, the heavens will melt with fervent heat, because it goes back into that compaction, and then there'll come a ninth universe. God creates universes where he plants all kinds of life. We're not it. We're not the only life form in the whole universe. That's ludicrous for anybody to believe that we as human beings are it, when there's this gigantic universe with over 900 billion known galaxies the size of ours. To think that we're it, that is just got to be the height of stupidity. And yet, that's what many people believe, but it's wrong.
All right, next up, Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah,
this
go ahead.
Dan. Yeah, you were talking about the generations and stuff, that Abraham said there was going to be, you know, 1,000 generations he was going to produce, and you said it was going to be like 40,000 years. You're way off there, because you don't go by how long a person lives. You go by when they create, you know, a new generation in their family, and they were marrying off, you know, and marrying at about, you know, 14, 15 years old back in those days. So you're only looking about 6,000 years.
6,000
years. Well, first of all, God said you'll be a father unto 1,000 generations. And I'm not, you know, people have dickered about generations forever. A generation doesn't have to be 16 or 17 years. God said that he would cause the Jews to dwell, to travel around for 40 years in the wilderness until that generation died out. A generation could also be 70 years, because he carried the Jews off for 70 years to Babylon until all those people died out. So your assessment of the 14 years is not biblical. You might say, well, there's a historical truth to it, but the biblical underscoring of a generation, I would think, should be pegged to the 40 years of wandering of the Jews in the wilderness when all the people died except Joshua and Caleb. And that to me is a generation. But even if it's 16 years, that's more than 6,000. 16 years is at least 16,000 years, which, you know, stretches way beyond what modernists think the time of human existence has been since the time of Adam, which is 6,000 years. So I think even if we took your conservative estimate of 16 years, that pushes it out at least another 10,000 years. So I don't think your facts are right.
Okay, next up, let's go first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
My question is, what are your feelings on the sorrow? Is that true or not?
What are my feelings on what?
The sorrow.
The what?
The sorrow.
Sorrow? I don't even know what it is.
National Economic, I believe it's Recovery Act. You no clue what the sorrow is?
You know, I used to be really concerned with world politics, and I've written books on it, you know, that deal with the expanse of human history and political structures and empires. I'm not concerned with that anymore. There's a knowledge under the sun, and it's spoken of by Solomon. There's nothing new under the sun, that things come and things go, and there's nothing new, and everything that was will be and shall be. I'm not even concerned with that anymore. I'm concerned with knowledge above the sun, or from the heavens. So I'm not concerned with, and I don't mean to be rude, I'm not trying to be rude, it's just that I don't know anything about it, and it probably wouldn't spend much time looking into it, since I'm dealing with more sublime things. Sorry about that.
Okay, well, we're running out of time. We'll take one or two more calls here for you, Ken.
Okay.
You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Where are you calling from?
Kentucky.
All right, go ahead, please.
Okay, hello, George.
Hi.
On the physical, everyday realm, you know, we are the embodiment of Christ, you know, because he's not on the earth anymore. And so, in your opinion, do you think that the people that are the in the angel realm, the people that whose root is the love of money, do you think that the demonic powers feel them the most? I also have a comment.
Well, you know, everybody's in a different place of development. You know, there's some people that are really corrupt, you know, and they just think that the life itself is about a lifestyle, which they want to acquire by, you know, acquiring enormous amounts of money. And I've written my book, deals with that, and America Globalism and the False Prophet. And so, you know, I don't believe any human can judge another human, because the degrees of difficulty of that are so enormous that it's impossible to make judgments over anybody. Okay. And so it's not my position to judge, you know, the Rothschilds or the you know, even the Jewish cabal of international banking or any of that stuff. Everybody's in a different place, and everybody's you know, God is trying to get our attention so he can get us to go in a different direction. So discussing, you know, the root of all evil, of course, it's the love of money. And, of course, that's a hook that the enemy gets. But to judge a human being, I cannot do that. I'm not called to do that. And I don't really believe anybody is capable of doing that. You can do it, but it's the seraphim angels that have that responsibility, you know, and that's what they do. They're the scribes and the ones that keep all the records, you know, and they'll open those books when we die to judge, you know, our life. And hopefully, you know, those of us that are listening that partake of this heavenly food will transcend and get out of our human lattice problems and enter into our divine, you know, self.
Where do you think the angels came from? Another dimension? One of the other universes?
Well, the Ophanim angels actually came from the first universe, and that's in this book before Genesis. And it's a long story, George. I mean, I'll have to come back, and that's a big, long story. And I probably should get the manifestor on with you to deal with some of these deep questions.
By the way, why doesn't he want his name revealed?
He's really a humble person, and he might come on, and if I can arrange it, I will. I'd have to ask him, but he could deal with that with a great deal more of articulation. But the Ophanim angels came from the Alphans, the first beings that were, you know, created in the outer alpha dimensions, which is the universal constructions, because there was an inner alpha time period, if I can call it time. But see, these things are in this before Genesis, which is, you know, people can write me and get in line, and as soon as we get them, we'll contact you. Just write me an email. But the Manifest Chronicles will begin to get at some of these things that you're asking me about, but perhaps I can, you know, talk to this man and see if he'd be willing to come on your program.
East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for your show this morning.
Oh, thank you.
I just wanted to comment on the caller two or three calls back when she started to talk about what was revealed to her, and you stopped her and said that was not biblical. As you said earlier, everyone is in a different place, and we can't judge anyone. What was revealed to her was revealed to her by the Holy Spirit, and she's in the right place exactly at the right time. I just wanted to make that comment, and thank you.
Well, all right, there you go. Next.
Well, you know, let
go
me
ahead.
Comment.
You want to react to that? Sure.
Yeah. Well, the Gabriel, the angel, did not spawn the holy child. You know, that's not the way it happened. And to come up with something like that, I just cannot. I mean, she's not in the right place at the right time. She's in error, and she's reading something that'll take her into a dimension that, you know, is not healthy for her. So I'm not speaking that in terms of judging her. I'm judging what she's saying, and what she's saying is just not right. So I don't have any axe to grind with her. I'm just hopeful that she'll pay attention and she won't go that route.
First time caller line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast.
Hey, this is a buddy from Louisiana.
Hey, buddy.
Ken, man, I agree with some, but if dinosaurs were a mistake, why have humans retained like the RCAP from in our brain, from like the reptile brain that's you know, under the cerebral cortex? If it was a mistake, you would think it's kind of counterintuitive to think that we still have those things that were part of a mistake, you know?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about with the reptile brain. That's like news to me. I mean,
we all have part in our brain. Ken, we all have that little reptilian part of the brain still, since the beginning of time.
Well, there is in the human body lattice a animal soul. Okay, so suke. I could go there with you, but you know, we were thrown into these body lattices, and we're way beyond. You know, the humans that pre-existed Adam, because they were not written in the book of life. We were before the foundations of the world. We were known by God because he was our dearest kinsman. And that's why it says that to whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. So God knew us before we were humans, but in human bodies, there is the ancientness of the animal nature. I mean, we all have an animal nature. That's what we're trying to overcome. So I'm not quite sure what this question's about, except maybe you didn't understand all that I'm talking about. But we have to overcome our human self. And there is an animal component to that aspect of us. You know, there's no doubt about it. But there is the divine, and it's called the silver cord, you know, that's mentioned in the book of Ecclesiastes. That's connected with the first domain. And everybody is born with the light of God. It's just that he is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But it's that light that gets dimmed by cleaving to the animal nature and following those human tendencies. And that's what dims the light. So I'm not arguing with him at all. I just, you know, I haven't heard of the reptilian thing, and that's just a new thing to me. But there is an animal nature that we all have that we're to overcome. That's what the overcoming is all about. That's what we're all called to. And just because you believe in Christ doesn't mean you're overcoming. I mean, that's just the beginning.
Get the websites out real quickly, Ken.
Okay, the 800 number for the Pillar of Enoch, you got to get this. This is the bridge. 1-800-892-9007. 892-9007. The website, you can get it on Coast to Coast if you click on my name there, or Enoch's Pillar, ENOCHSPILLAR.com, ENOCHSPILLAR.com. There's a trailer. You can preview it.
Very good. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate you being on Coast to Coast.
Thanks a lot for having me, George. Merry Christmas to everybody and the happiest of New Year's.
For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.